a lot has happened since I was last here. Good things, bad things, and obviously we're going to recap all of that, all of the world's events that took place throughout the show. We've got quite a busy show lined up for you today. We've got a very cool guest coming on the show. He is a second year academic student. He's from Germany. He's an anarchist. He's also queer. So that's going to be a very fun interview. And we're going to be chatting to him to see and hear what it's like to be a student, especially a second year student, since, you know, things are more or less going back to normal pre-COVID times, pre-pandemic times. And yeah, it's going to be quite an interesting show. It's been quite an interesting term of events that's been taking place in the world recently. I mean, it's taken America 20 years to figure out that pulling out is actually good. It's good for you, that. I mean, I'm the champion at pulling out. I mean, even when I was learning how to drive, my driving instructor told me, geez, you're so good at pulling out, Wade. And that was my driving instructor. So, you know, hey, some of us just take long to realize that pulling out is actually a good thing for you to happen. I tell you, I don't understand this, but people always come to me, especially girls, come to me for relationship advice. And I can never understand this. I really don't understand this because my love life is, at the moment, atrocious. It's probably, if you lived in Afghanistan, you'd probably have a better time at love than me. That's how bad my love life is at the moment. And my relationships don't seem to last that long either. Not because I'm a narcissist or anything like that. It's just because, you know, I get bored. There's only so many things that you can do in a relationship. And unfortunately, because of my ADHD, I get bored. I know that's a terrible thing. And I know that most of our listeners are actually female. But I do, I get bored. But, you know, the past week, I've had two girls come up to me, two girls, asking me for relationship advice. And I can never understand this. One of these girls I've known for a while, and she was dating this guy for 4 years, and every conversation we have, she lands up bringing him into the conversation, which, you know, I can understand. I mean, when you date someone for that long, it's difficult to forget about them. But then they ask me, but Wade, what should I do? Yeah, how should I move on? Should I keep texting him? Should I block him? And, you know, these are questions I can't answer. I don't have the answer for that kind of stuff. And then there's this other girl. She's a very sweet girl. She's from New Zealand. And, you know, she's been talking with a girl from South Africa. And, you know, she's been asking me for some advice on, how should I win her over? And again, you know, I'm terrible at stuff like this because I simply don't know. And it's a question I ask myself, you know, how do I win people over, especially girls? I mean, something to give you a slight idea of how bad my love life is and my relationship status is. I know a guy who talks the biggest load of shit there is. I mean, literally, I every time I see him, I try to pretend I'm busy, just because I know that if I give the slightest eye contact to him, he's gonna tell me about the world in his perspective, which is the biggest load of shit that ever comes out of his mouth. But he's got a girlfriend. So clearly I'm doing something wrong in my life if he's got a girlfriend. Obviously, we've got the news coming up. As I say, lots of things happening in the world since I wasn't here. By the way, I was supposed to be here last week, but we had some technical issues with our door. Which turns out that our security system is so great here that basically the doors that we have use batteries, because we have like a key kind of system, like a card system to activate the doors in the building. And I was here and we had some people with cameras because we were going to interview someone. Thankfully, they're going to be coming on next week's show. Thankfully. But you don't understand what an arsehole I look like, you know, with people outside with cameras and the person I'm about to talk to, and we can't get inside. But anyway, we managed to solve that problem, and everything is back to normal. So we've got quite a few things lined up on the show in the next coming weeks. Obviously, next month we turn 1 year old. And we've got some interesting people, from a second year academic that we're going to be talking to today, to a British guy who lives in the Netherlands who hates England. I mean, really, I'm not making any of this up, by the way. That's just the start of it. We've got some more interesting people coming on the show in the next coming weeks, you know, leading up to our big birthday. And this is the longest relationship I've had with anything. And I include all the women I've dated. This is the longest relationship I've had with anything. And, you know, the thing is, the formula's working. And I actually had a chat with guest that we're going to be chatting with later on in the show about the formula. And the thing is, I didn't want to be the same as everyone else, where I have to pay some Instagrammer or some YouTuber just to promote us. I didn't want that. I wanted to be as natural and as organic as possible. And, you know, it's taken a lot of hard work. And that's what's great about it, is that the hard work is paying off. And a lot of people are starting to notice us. I mean, someone, I didn't even know about this. And I'm not trying to sound smug, by the way, but we, according to Marius, who's our tech guy, he looks after everything at Amsterdam Lab, from making sure that you can still listen to us on Spotify and Apple and all of these places, to our website. And he was telling me the other day, we're now on a app. Let me just get it, because I've lost track of all the apps that we're on. And I'm not trying to sound smug. Really, I'm not. We're now on an app. And you can download this app, by the way, but you don't really need to, because we're on Spotify. But you can if you want to. It's called Reason. Now, we're on this app. And we've already got some subscribers to the show, and Marius asked me, so, you know, what's your experience with Reason? And I had no clue what he was on about, because we're on so many platforms at the moment. I mean, whenever people ask me, you know, where can they listen to me on, and I say, well, you know, the usual stuff, you know, Spotify, iTunes, Google, Deezer. I mean, I'm really not bragging. I'm really not trying to sound smug. It's just because, you know, what else is there to listen to? Now, that is sounding smug. All right, let's get into some news, because obviously a lot has happened in the world, these past few weeks since I have been absent. So let's get into the news before we dive into our interview. And our guest is raring to go. I mean, he's drinking some black coffee. He's all in black. He's literally gunning to go. He's got his camera, and I'm looking at this camera, and it's really retro, this camera. Really, really retro. So, and he's taking pictures of me, which is scary enough, because, I mean, usually when people take pictures of me with the latest technology, they have to take 5 or 6 pictures before they get the perfect one. He's taking one picture with this, because, you know, anyone who's older, who's an older generation, will understand what I'm talking about. When you use a camera back in the 90s, you would have to close your one eye and then peek through this little glass screen to take a picture and just hope that it came out as good as you think. And that's the kind of camera he has. So we're going to be talking about lots of things with this interview and this camera, by the way. But first, let's get into some news. And North Korea held a midnight parade on Thursday evening to mark the country's 73rd anniversary. Now, according to reports, people paraded in their pajamas, balloons were lit into the night sky, with some North Koreans noting that their leader, Kim Jong-un, appeared to show weight loss, as he kept clinching his pants by the waist while standing on a platform in King Il Square. Now, the North Korean dynasty later commented and said that His Excellency has indeed been trying this new Kiko, calories in, calories out craze. Now, the picture's straightforward. You can eat whatever you want, junk food included, and still shrink your waistline whilst you keep informing your people of the little hope there is of living past the age of 30. Police in Austria say a man kept the corpse of his dead mother in a basement for over a year whilst continuing to receive her pension in payments. Police believe the son, who used bandages and ice packs to mask her deadly smell, may have received up to 50,000 euros in payments. They also suspect that he may have been in contact with another Austrian, Joseph Fritzl, as they found a business card with a catchy phrase, "It's a family business." The Taliban has banned any sort of demonstrations that do not have approval for both the gathering itself or any sort of gathering. Confusing, right? The militant group said opponents must secure permission before permission for any permission protests or face having their Pornhub subscriptions taken away, God willing. Prince Andrew believes he could return to public life as soon as his mother's platinum jubilee next year. He told his closest confidants that he is utterly convinced he will brush off any claims of rape in the first degree once his OnlyFans account, reaches 1 million subscriptions by the end of this month. He said that he is confident enough that he'll get more subscriptions than R. Kelly will. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau said a mob of anti-vaccine campaigners that threw syringes at him were foaming at the mouth. Syringes were thought to hit the Canadian Prime Minister when he boarded his campaign bus during an increasingly fraught and volatile election. The election happened just hours after Trudeau vowed no surrender to anti-vaxxer mobs. He later commented and said he was a little disappointed that it wasn't glass bottles of maple syrup thrown at him. And finally, British tennis star Emma Raducanu impressed many British men across the country after finishing a superb semi. The 18-year-old extended her masterclass performance with a 6-16-4 victory, in which her trainer says her dominance almost defined belief. She will arouse many more British men when she plays with another teenager, Leila Fernandez, on Saturday. Since this performance, many British men have taken the health secretary's advice by freezing their sperm for 55 years, in what the health secretary, who has no medical background, suggested after drinking a few too many gin and tonics at a gentleman's club on Tuesday. And that was the news. So plenty of stuff happening over the course of 2 weeks. Of course, Britney Spears' father has said that, you know, he's not going to take the court's advice. And basically said he insists that the guardianship is in his daughter's best interest. So this kind of sounds like a Meghan Markle daddy issue kind of problem. But we'll leave that to the Spearses to sort out. All right, let's get into our interview for today. And I'm very pleased to have him in studio. I met him a few weeks ago, and we've literally clicked like this, mainly because he's German. And obviously, any listener to the show will know that I am very, very proud of my German heritage. And, you know, any chance I can get talking to a German, I just make a fool of myself when I try to speak German. So let's bring the guest on the show. His name is Phil. He's from Bavaria. And talk me through what it was like growing up in Germany, especially as an anarchist and a queer, because that defines everything that is German in Bavaria. So talk me through this. Hello, by the way. Hello, how are you? All that boring stuff.
Hi, nice to be here. I mean, I didn't grow up an anarchist. I grew up and then became an anarchist. It's
right, because you saw what was going on in Germany and how the governments were working and all of that.
Yes, and also, funnily enough, because I actually read the Bible.
Do you read it now still?
Oh yeah, I do.
Like religiously.
Ha, without religion, but yes. I mean, it's still funny when you grow up in this very strict, very Christian environment and are basically encouraged to read the Bible, and you do so and you realize, even though you grew to dislike religion or institutionalized religion because you don't like to be stuck in a place with around 50 other people who are mainly 70 upwards, like thrice a week. But this JC guy actually made a few good points, and I basically ended up an anarchist because I read Jesus, which was fun.
Now, I must actually comment on this. I have a very good friend who lives in Germany, and we'll get on to how you know, because she's dating someone in a band that you went to go and see. Well, you didn't go see them, but you went to go see the main acts, and they were just a pre-band act, pre-performer act. I remember visiting her a few years ago in Easter. And Germany, believe it or not, is a very religious country. I mean, even in the Easter time, people still go to church to celebrate Easter. And I remember, I knew about it because she told me, look, you know, if you're going to come here, you know, this is what happens in April and all of that. She's not into her religion, but her family is, her parents are. And I remember waking up this one morning, it was cold, it was gray, it was miserable, and I had to go to church, and it was busy. It was fully, you know, fully packed. They really are a religious country.
They are a religious country in that sense, but they use religion to restrict other people's freedom. I mean, the separation of church and state is not really happening because you have this main party, the Conservative Party, that literally has Christian in their name, whilst restricting other religions' freedoms. For example, you can't become a judge when you wear a headscarf, which is just, I mean,
outrageous.
Outrageous. Thank you. That's the polite option. I mean, the Bavarian governor, so to speak, actually tried to push a decree that would say every governmental building in Bavaria has to have a cross in the entrance. That's not
very so. They're becoming very American, very, you know, very crazy Christian American.
Bavaria is basically Texas without guns and better beer.
Right. Okay. Right. Okay. So, what went through your mind last year when the pandemic started? Because obviously, you know, your world was about to start, and then Corona happened. So what went through your mind? Talk me through this.
I mean, it, like, for most of the people, it was just a very weird time when all of it started. I mean, I moved back to my mom's house for a while because my little sister, who is still in elementary school, went to homeschooling, whilst my mom still had to work because she's one of those relevant workers.
What do they call them? Important people.
Important people, yeah. Yes. So I basically moved from the town I did my bachelor's in to my mom's house to help with the schoolwork of my sister, which was a nice experience to have, but it was still weird to move back home. I actually basically lost all my prospects. I was on the verge of becoming a freelancer, an artist. I wanted to try to live from it. It just didn't happen because the arts were dead for a year. I mean, if you still have the money to produce something online or something, you can then upload on YouTube or Vimeo. You were fine, but those regular artists who don't have an institution backing them up. I mean, I went on to work in a kind of Home Depot for half a year and just stacked those bags of stones, whilst other artists I know who are magnificent actors and actresses just went on and tried to do every job they got because there was nothing there.
So did you feel that the world was closing in front of you, so to speak? Because I know a lot of students, and I actually spoke to first-year students last year when we launched, because, you know, I never experienced stuff like this when I went to university. So did you feel like the whole world was just closing in front of you?
Definitely. I mean, I was one of those lucky ones because I already had this traditional student experience. I was in my eighth semester, the end of my eighth semester when COVID struck, so I had 7 semesters of regular studying. I was one of those lucky guys because I had 3 seminars and a few lectures left, so not that much of an effort to put in university whilst being stuck at home. And I cannot even imagine what must have gone through a first year's head at the time, because you have already had this huge change of having moved out and starting university, and then you were not even allowed to. I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm all for home office and everything, but Germany just lacks the digital infrastructure to do so in a good way.
And we'll get onto that, because you know, it's a very important month for Germany because the elections are coming up. So we'll get into that a little bit later for, you know, tech and all of that. And you'll be surprised just how far behind Germany is in the tech world. So what's it like being a student now in this year, 2021? Because you're back in uni now, you're a second year academic. And what's it like?
Yes, I started.
Are you scared? Are you excited? What's it like? Tell me, the world has to know.
I mean, I just started on Monday, so I...
How's it been? How's your experience been?
It was a weird mix of it feeling wonderful and it just feeling weird, because, I mean, the Netherlands handle COVID quite different than Bavaria does. I mean, you are not forced to wear masks inside and all of that. I mean, at university, I actually have to wear a mask from the moment I enter the building to the moment I sit down in my place, which is quite, it became normal to just wear a mask inside. But I'm very lucky that I actually can have this experience of not just having started my master's, but having been able to start my master's in a foreign country, in a foreign city. I mean, I've been to Amsterdam once before when I was 17 for a vacation. So I still can't believe that's not a dream, to be honest, because it's a mixture of a sense of normality I thought I had lost at some point, and this wondrous opportunity I never thought I would get.
Sure. I mean, I've been thinking this, you know, since I've met you, and I've asked quite a few people, because obviously, you know, there's a lot of students around now in Amsterdam compared to last year. And, you know, obviously everyone's coming from various countries around the world, around Europe. And what I want to know is, what's the big attraction about Amsterdam's university compared to, let's say, Bavaria? So let everyone know, what made you choose Amsterdam compared to Bavaria or, I don't know, Berlin or France, or what's the attraction? Because Amsterdam seems to be a very hot point for students.
I mean, Amsterdam is one of the best universities in Europe.
Which university do you go to? UVA.
Yes.
So, University of Amsterdam.
The University of Amsterdam, yes. Okay. It's one of the best universities in Europe, and only those non-affordable ones in England and Switzerland have a higher ranking. So you can still afford to go there and you receive an awesome education. And the other thing is the University of Amsterdam just is accustomed to be open to the world. Your studies are not limited to the society, to this values and ideas the respective society is built on. It's open. I've read more diverse texts now in preparation for my classes than I did in most of my school education.
So would you say that you're more freer here than if you were in Germany, if you went to university in Germany?
It's very likely that I'm freer here than it would be in Germany. I mean, in this introduction my lecturers gave, they actually told us that we're equals in those classes. We have to bring in as much as they bring in. We are completely free to choose which person or which people we want to become after this master's, and all our research topics, all the directions we personally want to explore are open to us, and they actually will help us on the way. We are not seen as mere students, but as people that can be enriched through the knowledge our lecturers have amassed. And that's awesome. That's what studying at university should be all about.
Sure.
I mean, I'm not being trained at how to exploit people who didn't go to university, which is a great thing. And that's the best thing that could happen to enable me personally to grow, not only as a professional, as an artist, but also as a human being.
Mm. Okay, so obviously we touched on it a little bit earlier, you know, growing up in Bavaria, reading the Bible and all of that. But I just want to take that back a few steps. So what was it like growing up in Bavaria before you discovered the Bible? What was life like in Bavaria? Because I've got this very stereotypical view on Bavaria where they make you wear lederhose when you're like 6 years old. And obviously that's not true. So what was life growing up in Bavaria as a child, and were they, you know, what memories do you have of Bavaria growing up?
I mean, I didn't have a bad childhood. Now looking back, I realize what went wrong, even though the people who raised me, my mother, my grandparents, my family, they didn't mean to do harm, because they raised me to the best abilities, with the best abilities they have. And they actually gave up quite a few things to give me this education I possess now. I'm the first one from a family who not only got sent to a higher school education, but who also was enabled to finish it. The only other person of my family who went to higher school education was my uncle. And it was because he wanted to become a priest, so he was unable to do so. He didn't go through with it. But me not wanting to become a priest and still being enabled to go to higher school education was great, even though my family is not traditionally an academic family. I mean, my mother works as a social worker taking care of children with disabilities. My father's a cook. My grandfather's a blacksmith. There's not much higher education.
So you had quite as you say, you didn't have a bad childhood, but you had a pretty normal childhood growing up. Would you say there's a difference now in Bavaria compared to when you grew up in regards to the environment? Is the environment a lot more tense now? Is it a lot more, how is it? Because obviously, you know, over years things change, not just in Germany, but you know, political environments change and all that. So, you know, how was life growing up in Bavaria when you were a child compared to now? Because obviously you're still fresh from Germany. And we were talking about, you know, the current state of Bavaria and all of that. So how would you say, comparing when you were a child to now, what it was like to grow up?
I mean, when I was a child, I felt very secure growing up. I mean, small village, everybody knows me. I know everybody.
Mm.
I had only this blurry vision of the wide world. I was just told stories about how dangerous the real world would be outside of this village I grew up in. And now coming back, I mean, after I went to my mom's house to help taking care of my sister, I actually moved to my grandparents' house, to the house I was raised in, because due to COVID, I wanted to help out, you know, getting groceries and all of that. And I was quite shocked moving back to my village again after almost 14 years of not having regularly lived there, because on the one hand, nothing really changed, and on the other hand, you can actually feel this sense of roughness having taken place in the political landscape, because even though the people still mainly vote the one party who ruled Bavaria for the last 60-ish years, but the tone just got rougher. I mean, you have people just picking up on those right-wing populist ideas, and even though they consider themselves conservatives, just regular people, this turning to right-winged populist and sometimes even extremist ideas just grew so much.
So has Bavaria, you mentioned right-wingism and all of that, has it always been a right-wing state, or has it been a very liberal state? Tell me the situation. I'm fascinated to know, because I finally have a German in the studio, and you know, I want to know about Bavaria, because Bavaria is different to the rest of Germany. Got its own culture, its own way of life, its own political system. It's just part of the Bundestag. That's the only thing. So has it always been a very right-wing state, or was it a very liberal state that's, you know, because of maybe the migrant crisis in 2015 that has shifted views and on life and people and all of that? How was Bavaria when you were growing up? Was it a very liberal place, or was it always a very right-wing place, even when you were a child?
I mean, Bavaria just always was very, very conservative. I mean, you have accounts of, for example, police violence against demonstrators since the state was refounded after the Second World War. It was just always there, which is quite tragic, because Bavaria has this very leftist, liberal history where after the First World War, a part of this main revolution in Germany to get rid of the monarchy took place in Bavaria. Munich, at some point, had its own Red Army. And now Munich is this capital of Bavaria that's mainly aimed at attracting super rich people and just either getting rid of this naturally grown culture of living there, other than selling it out. I mean, it's just either all of it has been swallowed up by capitalism or by conservatism.
So where does the anarchy in you come from? Like, is it because of the shift of views in Bavaria and obviously how you see the world? Where does this whole anarchy come from? This anarchist view on the world?
I mean, I was just lucky, I guess, because I had a few very, very good teachers who just enabled us to think for ourselves, to do reading outside of schoolwork, to not fall out of love with reading like many people do due to school. And also I just saw so much hypocrisy, because having read those original ideas of how Christian religion should be lived, how you should live according to it. And I mean, Jesus was a proponent for direct action. He actually...
As he always is.
Yeah. I mean, he actually attacked those early bankers, in huge quotation marks, that were changing money in front of the temple in Jerusalem. He attacked them. He trashed their stands, which is now a very large no-go in Bavaria. I mean, today there were demonstrations against the International Automobile Exhibition, which takes part in Munich at that time. And even though the demonstration was legally allowed to take place, it was immediately greeted by police violence and policemen just starting to hit people using pepper spray, all of it. But nobody bats an eye, because this very strict idea of conservatism that nothing should be allowed to change except for the things that you can enjoy. It's just ingrained, and that's sad, because most people living in Bavaria aren't bad. They just never had the chance to broaden their horizon in a way that enables them to link their own thoughts, or to link themselves as human beings to people from different cultures. I mean, you still have a lot of liberal, leftist-leaning people in Bavaria. I mean, otherwise, this influx of refugees would have radicalized more people if you didn't have civil society taking care of refugees on their own, with their own money, NGOs doing things the government said they would do, which in most cases they just didn't.
Yeah, but that's just governments in general. Okay, so since we're on this topic of governments and all of that, do you think Germany did a good job handling this pandemic?
It didn't really, because you were basically allowed to go to work, but you were not allowed to be a human being without being a consumer. You were reduced to sacrificing yourself for the economy, even though you don't profit off of it.
So you were a slave, basically.
A slave with Netflix.
You were exploited.
A slave with Netflix. That was it. I mean, at some point, some politicians I personally dislike did decent things. For example, creating a mask mandate when the federal government didn't do so. That was decent, but at no point you actually had civil society enabling themselves to come together and to just solve the problems on their own. I mean, you had a spike in mutual aid campaigns that was just organized locally in respective communities, which I totally adore. But in the long run, the German government didn't do a good job. Most of the deaths could have been avoided. Yes, thanks. Because I mean, they didn't even hide it anymore that we were supposed to die for the economy.
Yeah, but it was kind of that. I mean, that was kind of very similar to how the Dutch did it. I mean, also the Dutch prioritized the economy over people's well-being. But that's a topic for another day. I actually just want to play you something from Angela Merkel, because obviously she's stepping down after 16 years. And basically, they asked her in a televised questionnaire, which maybe you would have seen, if she's a feminist. So this is Angela Merkel telling everyone. Obviously, I will translate it for you because it's in German. Phil will obviously understand what she's saying. But this is Angela Merkel telling people that she's a feminist.
Im Kern geht es doch darum, dass Männer und Frauen gleich sind im Sinne der Teilhabe am gesellschaftlichen Leben, am gesamten Leben. Und in diesem Sinne kann ich heute bejahend sagen, dann bin ich Feministin. Das habe ich ja damals auf der Bühne schon etwas schüchtern vorgebracht. Heute ist das besser durchdacht. Und deshalb in diesem Sinne kann ich sagen, ja, wir sollten alle Feministen sein.
Wow. Yay!
Yay, yay, yay. So would you say she's a feminist?
In a very neoliberal sense, yes. I mean, I'm in no position to disregard anyone's feminism. I'm not a woman. I can't speak for that. But I mean, Angela Merkel is basically one of as much a feminist as Hillary Clinton is.
I mean, look, she's played a very big role in German society and life. I mean, they call her Mutter.
Yeah, but she also had the chance to get rid of this one German paragraph, this law that actually forbids advertising abortions. You as a doctor can get sued because you tell people you do abortions on your homepage, for example. She was able to get rid of it, but she didn't because she didn't want to. She didn't want to lose voters. So, I mean, she can call herself...
And that's where the whole conservatism comes from in Germany. That's where she wins most of her votes, because obviously she probably, as you say, she wanted to deep down, but she knew, well, if I'm gonna win another term, I need to appeal to these.
Just because you make oppressive structures available for white women doesn't mean you're a feminist, because if you don't approach it intersectionally, if you don't include people of color, queer people, in your structures, which this idea of intersectional feminism tells you to achieve, to think of multiple layers of oppression. I mean, I personally don't care if it's a white man or a white woman exploiting me. I still don't like to be exploited.
No,
and
no
I'm one
does.
Of the most privileged people here, because, I mean, if I could keep my mouth shut, I wouldn't have problems, because I'm a white man.
But instead you're here and you're on the show. And this is what I like about you, is that, you know, we're all entitled to our own opinions. We're all entitled to, you know, voicing our concerns about stuff that we don't like hearing and seeing. I mean, one good thing coming out of this week was Mexico. They criminalized abortion. You know, whereas America... No, they decriminalized it. Yes, they decriminalized it, yes.
America criminalized it again. Yes. I mean, Texas did.
Yeah, what am I saying? What am I saying? And I'm getting all of these voices in my head from these conservatives. No, they decriminalized abortion, and America criminalized. Yes. So that kind of shows you the direction Mexico is going. And yeah, it's terrific. It's terrific to see it, because, again, women... And I had this conversation with someone the other day, a female, and I still can't believe that in 2021, women still aren't being treated equally, still aren't being paid equally. And it's ridiculous, you know? Come on. Why should we have to have these laws that, like Mexico did, where they decriminalized abortion? You know, women should have the right to choose yes or no if they want to have it or not. It's their body. You know, you don't need the law to be involved. Women should be able to have the top job, whether it's being in office as a politician or being a CEO of a company or whatever. It's just, it shocks me that, you know, we still have these conversations about women and feminism and all of that. I mean, you're the perfect person to chat to, because, I mean, yeah, you're queer. You I mean, you even mentioned that we should go see ABBA.
I mean, it's one of the greatest bands that ever graced the surface of our earth.
Mm.
So, name one person who doesn't like ABBA.
Extremists.
I'd say Trump, but yeah, it's the same thing.
Yeah, well, I mean, who do you think, you know, because obviously it's a very hotly contested election being fought in Germany. How do you think that's going to go? Who do you think's going to win? You tell me, because I'm fascinated about this.
I mean, the recent polls actually show that that the Social Democrats could technically, if today was the election day, could technically win the election and rule together with the Green Party and the so-called leftist party.
Die Linke.
Yes, but that won't happen because the Social Democrats, who, by the way, stopped being Social Democrats in 1914 when they actually voted for the First World War. They could have stopped that, but didn't.
The irony in that.
Definitely. And I mean, the German revolution, in quotation mark, was actually also stopped by so-called Social Democrats. I mean, they just got everybody killed who took part in this revolution and then established the parliamentary democracy that itself being so weak enabled Hitler to his rise to power. So, I mean, there were good Social Democrats, please don't get me wrong, there were Social Democrats who were arrested, killed, thrown in concentration camps. I don't have anything against each individual member, but their party as a whole just is a zombie that refuses to die.
So what is the difference between the Social Democratic Party and the Christian Democratic Party?
The Social Democrats wear bow ties and have a better style, and that's basically it.
Right, okay.
I mean, you have to imagine the last 16 years, Angela Merkel ruled Germany, and out of those 16 years, 12 of them, they ruled together with the Social Democrats. None of those two parties are able or are allowed, in my opinion, to talk shit about the other party because they all did this together.
Mm.
To quote High School Musical, they're all in this together.
Well, exactly. It's very interesting because, you know, everyone, including me, thinks the Greens are going to do well. But you told me, and you almost choked on drinking your coffee as I said that. You were telling me the other day that the Greens are heavily involved with NATO and funding the military and all of that, which goes against being green.
Definitely. And I mean, today, one of the leading members of the Green Party used right-wing phrases when talking about immigration.
Hmm.
They didn't use the proper term, which is the right to asylum, but they used this right-wing terminology talking about a guest right to be here, which it isn't. You're not a guest if you seek asylum here. You are entitled to stay as long as you need asylum. You should be able, or you should be allowed to build up your life here because we, as one of the main Western countries, probably fucked up yours, so you had to flee. I mean, next to the United States, the country with the most soldiers being in Afghanistan was Germany.
Mm. And, surprisingly.
Yeah, and those soldiers over there didn't defend my freedom at the Hindu Kush. They didn't defend any freedom there. They were just basically mercenaries fighting for US American oil companies.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I totally agree. I totally agree with that. So who would you in your perfect world, who would you say, who do you think should lead Germany? Because obviously, as you know, latest polls put the SPD, Social Democratic Party, on track to become the largest party. But in your perfect world, who would you want?
At the same time, no one and all of us. I don't believe in one single person or one singular party leading a country. I don't believe in nation states at all. I mean, we as humanity should have evolved past that.
Yeah, I agree.
Because, I mean, you have those very distinct needs in specific communities, which are best solved by those communities. And if they can't solve it on their own, other communities can help. Councils, just talking to each other. And have immediate, not only responsibility, but also accountability for the actions you take. If there's a problem, in my perfect world, it's based on councils, council democracy. I mean, if there's a specific problem, the councils in the specific, the affected communities would get together, figure out what needs to be done. They would elect one or multiple people to solve that problem, either alone or with other communities combined. And either they succeed, solve the problem, and then go back to be regular people again, or they fail, which is not a bad thing. We are humans. We fail all the time. I mean, this morning I actually failed tying my shoelaces. It happens. But you also go back, be a regular person again, and not just be unaccountable for 4 to 5 years where nobody can get rid of, even if you don't do a good job. If we call ourselves adults, and I believe when you turn 16, you should be allowed to vote because you have more time to live with those decisions than people in their 80s do.
What is the minimum in Germany?
18.
18.
Okay. It's the second election I'm allowed to vote in.
Okay.
I'm 25.
So obviously the reason I asked you this is because, you know, we do have quite a few audience that listen to us in Germany, and hopefully common sense will prevail. I say that in the hope, but hopefully common sense prevails in Germany, and people, some, because obviously polls can always mislead people and lie, and obviously on the day things can change, people's minds can change. Before we wrap things up on the interview, let's play a few quiz games, just to get to know Germany a little bit more. Is it true that Germany still uses fax machines?
Yes, very much so.
And I find this interesting because I visited Germany last year to go see my friend, and you actually forget just how behind Germany is with technology, because, you know, Germany likes to perceive itself as very tech innovative and all of that with their cars and all of that. But when you go to Germany and you want to pay with Apple Pay or your card, they almost look at you like, we prefer money. So it's almost like they have this, they still want the feel of money in their hand compared to like here where you can, you know, here in the Netherlands, they almost beg you not to pay with money, you know, mainly because of Corona and all of that, but just because, you know, everyone has a card. So that's what I find very interesting. And the reason I say this is because Jens Spahn, the health minister, who everyone in Germany says he looks like he's seen a bad dream every time he goes onto the TV. He mentioned that from now, actually, Germany's going to start doing everything digitally, because you were explaining the other day. Now, just explain to the listeners how backwards and old-fashioned it is to report Corona cases from you to when it gets to Jens Spahn. So just explain to everyone how backwards and old-fashioned it is in 2021.
I mean, the way I understood this process being, I mean, I don't work in the health ministry, I couldn't say for sure, but the way I...
But you have an understanding.
Yes, the way I have the understanding of it working, because I still was brought up using fax machines because of obvious reasons. I mean, when you get sick and want to test for COVID, you call your general practitioner or the COVID hotline, you do a test, and when it's positive, when you are sick with COVID, The specific practitioner, the doctor, right, fills out a form, which they then fax to the local branch of the Robert Koch Institute, this main disease institute of Germany, like the German CDC, to stick with US slang. And then there you would have a person seeing the fax.
The fax or the fax? Both.
Both. And then manually transcribing the information on the form to another form, which will then be faxed to the General Ministry of Health and more likely the Robert Koch Institute, where then all those cases will be added up and be used for those official statistics, which means nobody really can't be sure, because German bureaucrats being German bureaucrats, when your shift ends or your workday ends, you just stop. You are not concerned with the people you like, whose lives depend on you.
Yeah, they can wait until 7 in the morning tomorrow. I'm going home, it's 5 o'clock.
More like 8 or 9 in the morning, but still.
Right, yes.
And I mean, on weekends, they mostly just don't work because it's a weekend. They are not supposed to work, so they don't.
I'm looking at you. I mean, I remember you telling me this how it works, this process. And even now, I'm still... I just can't believe that a country like Germany, as I say, that perceives itself as very tech innovative. It's only until you go there or until something like this happens, you hear about stuff like this, that you actually find out it's not.
I mean, you have to imagine Germany being one of the richest countries on earth.
Right.
They still didn't equip all schools or all classrooms with those air purifiers. Instead, they saved the failing business of Lufthansa, the airline. Mm-hmm. They put in more money than the airline actually was worth at the time and just receiving 25% of the shares. With this money, someone actually did the math. With this money, you could have put 2 air purifiers in every single classroom in Germany. They just didn't, because they don't care, as long as you are still willing to go to work, which, unless someone gets around, does the organizing and organizes a general strike, we still have to do, because nobody wants to starve to death. So you basically have to live with the fact that your child will most likely contract COVID, because they are not, most children are not yet vaccinated because they aren't allowed to. You have to be 12 years old to be vaccinated. So it's basically like, yeah, not slavery. It's not, I mean, it's structurally, there's structural reasoning behind the similarities, but it's not slavery because we chose to.
Sure.
By not changing it, by not questioning it.
Of course not. It's mind-blowing. Now, tell me, because you mentioned to me the other day that you know Colony Zero. Now, you went to go see a band in Cologne. What was the name of this band?
I actually didn't go out that night to see a band. I just got out that night and had a night out with a few friends of mine, because we actually just went to go to Gamescom.
Right.
And we just stumbled upon a bar in which live music was playing, and they still had an entry. Like, okay, yeah, let's go in there, have a few beers in there. And I basically stumbled upon Colony Zero, which is quite funny when you think about it, coincidentally.
Well, they're actually going to be coming very soon into the studio to perform one of their songs. It's very interesting how you know Colony Zero, and my friend is dating the guitarist in the band. It's small, very small world.
Yeah.
Okay, very quickly, talk to me about this camera that I see in front of me. It is, I'll take a picture, actually. I'm, I've just taken a picture now of this camera, and it is incredibly 1930s. As you probably heard, it's got a click, and he's winding the spool. We call it a spool. Back. Talk to me about this camera. I mean, this camera. It looks like you can throw it at someone and knock them out.
Oh yeah, probably most likely. I mean, you don't even have to be strong to knock someone out with this. I mean, it's sadly not from the 30s. I would have adored it even more. But
can I have a feel? I won't touch anything. I mean, it's proper. You know, it's made.
I mean, it doesn't use any kind of electricity.
No.
You are not dependent on any kind of batteries or anything, which is quite nice. I mean, I just got it today, which is quite the lucky coincidence that I was actually able to bring it with me.
And just to let the listeners know just how old this camera is, it says made in West Germany at the bottom of the camera. So that kind of shows you the vintage and the quality of this camera. And I mean, it is proper quality. I see no faults with it.
I mean, this camera is older than our ages.
Yes, I mean, they still call it West Germany. I would imagine it's older than me.
Oh, I mean, most people still call it West and East Germany.
Yes. So. No, people still ask me, what's the difference between North and South Africa? So, yes. Okay, what advice would you give to students, very quickly, before we wrap the interview up and the show? What advice would you give to students going to university now?
Live your best life by still looking out for each other.
That's a very valid way to end the interview. Hey, Phil, thank you so much. I appreciate you coming in and chatting to us. I've learned a lot about, well, you. And Germany, and I'm sure our listeners have as well. I just want to ask you: are you having problems with finding accommodation?
It's a nightmare.
It is, isn't it? Especially now. I mean, Amsterdam is literally the hotspot for students and all of that. But if you are looking for accommodation, as you know, Amsterdam is notoriously known to be difficult for finding places, especially now. Well, Hello Housemate aims to match you with people in your search for housing and housemates, and serves as a trustworthy community by and for real people. So there's no brokers and no spam, because obviously Facebook is notorious for that. I mean, I've had about 8 different spammers and people that just want my money. And just to let you know, if you are looking for housing and how you can identify a spammer, they will always say, oh, I've got this a wonderful place, and then they send you a link on some website that you have to, in order for you to even look at it, you have to pay like €2 subscription just to look at the pictures. So that's a big red flag. That's how I've learned how you can identify a spammer. So whether you're looking for a new place to call your home, Hello Housemates is here to share your flat, or if you're looking for a flatmate, should I say, to share your flat with a tenant for your room or apartment, Hello Housemates is the place for you and is here to help you. And you can connect, should I say, with other seekers and listers in Amsterdam today by becoming part of their housing community. You can request your free, yes, free, believe it or not, they charge zero. They're not like everyone else where they just want your money. They charge zilch, nix, nada. They charge nothing for membership on their site, hellohousemates.nl. And you can join their community of like-minded housemates, tenants, and landlords. And I must say, I've been on their website. It's really nice. It's ad free, and it's like your camera. It's pure. It's so nice, and it's kind of like, you know, Hello Housemate. The way they do things, it's very like, it's like online dating on an app, and you know, it's like whenever I'm not on any dating app now, but you know, when I was on a dating app, I'd get a notification and I'd get so excited. And then you look at this person that finds you attractive and it's like, oh my God, decline. And there's people on apps that they need to be on apps because they're not going to have any luck in the real world. And this is what it's like when you go into Hello Housemates. So you can actually find like-minded housemates, tenants, landlords. It's kind of like online dating, but it's just finding a house or a flat or an apartment or a landlord. So that website again, hellohousemates.nl. Got it? Hellohousemates.nl. Right? Got it? Written it down?
I mean, when it all works out, you won't leave after just one night.
Exactly. You'll be hooked on there. They update their website constantly, so no excuses. I'm pretty sure you'll find a housemate or a new tenant, or if you're looking to rent your apartment out, you'll find the right landlord. So hellohousemates.nl is the place for you to go to go and rescue your situation. Hey, Phil, thank you so much. Appreciate
it. Thank you for having me.
Next week, we're going to be chatting to a guy called Ed. And as I mentioned, he's an English guy that lives in the Netherlands. And obviously, if you've listened to my show, you will know that I am not a very big fan of the UK. I've made that very clear. And basically, he's an English guy and he hates England. Who would have thought? An English guy who hates England.
I'm a German guy who hates Germany, so.
You see, what a small world. I tell you, I don't know where we find these people, but we find them. So he's going to be on the show next week. He's got a YouTube channel. He's got an Instagram account. He's got a Twitter account. You can find him on mind.industries. MIND.industries. You can follow him. He's called Eddie the Geezer on Instagram. It's going to be quite an interesting interview to have. So I'm very much looking forward to that. Tomorrow is September 11th. So it's going to be quite a explosive day tomorrow. It's going to be lots of fireworks, I'm sure. September is obviously the month for all the conspiracy theories and theorists. What is your view, by the way? Do you think it was planned? It was premeditated? What's your view on it, since we're on conspiracy theories here?
I don't think it was planned. I mean, George W. probably wasn't smart enough to do it, and Rumsfeld didn't get any money off of it, so...
Well, tomorrow, either way, is going to be ballistic. Have yourselves a terrific Friday, Saturday, whenever you listen to this podcast. And I promise I'll be back next week.